Okay, this morning I'm going to be continuing on with the last time I was up here, the lesson entitled Something Better to Come. So, Christians often we feel out of place in this world, not just morally, but our very existence on the planet. And it should be that way. According to the scriptures, James tells us in James 4:4 that friendship with the world is enmity against God. It's hostility. You make yourself an enemy of God if you're friendly with the world and its ways. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:11, Peter says that we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We are wayfaring strangers on the earth. We sing a song, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through." Thank you. And it's so true. This world is not our home. The discomfort that we feel, it's not weakness, but it's really an evidence of life in us. Colossians 3:3 says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Our lives are hidden. Only other Christians recognize and see them. The world does it. You know, our conversion, when we become Christians, when we are born again in our baptism, did you know that really what's taking place here is an execution? We're being killed. So before the resurrection comes execution. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4 says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death?" That means into the benefit of it. "Therefore, or because of that, we have been buried with him through baptism into death." Now that's our death. "So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." So before we're buried with him and rise to walk in newness of life, we are first executed. We're killed. That's why repentance from the old way of life, see, is what we're repenting of. Repentance is taught first before we put the old man in the water and bury him. He first is going to die. And before you put him in the vault, you see, you're going to execute him. That is, you make your mind up before you go in the water that you're giving up the ways of the world. You're going to die to that way of life. You're going to accept Jesus' sacrifice on your behalf and enter into the benefit of his death. That by the means of your own death from the life that you used to live. Thus, a new creation comes up out of the water. And the new creation should not fit as nicely as he once did in the old world, because that was the old guy. The old guy liked the old world, felt quite comfortable in it. But now, the new creation that comes up in resurrection doesn't get along with the world at all. This is why we're told in 2 Corinthians 13:5 to examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. He asked, "Don't you know your own self how that Christ Jesus is in you? You are no longer your own. You are bought with a price." Our burial in the water means our former life is over, is finished. Death to sin precedes our new resurrected life. That's why Peter tells us in Acts 2:38 that our sins are now forgiven. We've buried that old guy, and our sins are forgiven. Our past life is over. We get to start all over, born again, a new start in life. His God does not remember any of your past sins. Praise the Lord. As newborn babes, as if that were not enough. I mean, if that were not enough, that God forgave us every sin we've ever committed. If that were not enough, God now gives us His very Spirit to dwell in us. That if we would but desire now the sincere understanding of His Word, will be able to grow up in Him in all things. But you must desire, you must hunger and thirst after righteousness to be filled. Seek, and you'll find it. Knock, it'll be open. Ask, it'll be given. That's what the Lord promises. But you see, you must be in the Word, seeking, asking, knocking, searching for God to see His face. So now to get back to where I was. If you're not uncomfortable in this world now, there's something wrong. The reason you should be uncomfortable is because something has changed in you. You're not the person you used to be. The uneasiness that you might now feel comes when you try to feel at home in a world in which you died to. Go back, same habits, same thing you used to do. Run with the old crowd who's still doing the same things. You'll start to feel uncomfortable if indeed you are a new creature. So as you grow more and more in the knowledge of God, you should start feeling less attracted to this present world. Less attracted to it. You will learn to grow more patient in suffering from the distraction that you're feeling, and at the same time become more anchored. I mean, you use an anchor in the storm. You become more anchored in your resurrected hope. And it's called hope not because it's not real, but because you don't yet have it. I mean, if you obtain right now what you're hoping for, then what are you hoping for? See? And so that's why it's called hope. It's not like hope, like, oh, I hope it happens. No, it's going to happen. But it's called hope because we haven't yet attained to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18 says, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, and boy, we see that, don't we? The older we all get, the outer man is decaying. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. We're getting younger on the inside. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul is reminding us that there's something better to come. Don't lose heart in your uneasiness. The tension that Christians feel is because he's dead to the world, but he still lives in it. That's why there's so much tension. We're dead to this world, but we've got to live in it right now. It's why the world feels hollow to us. The world is structured for the flesh. This world is telestial. Our bodies are telestial. And this world is structured for the flesh. But we're no longer to be in the flesh, in our hearts and minds. And soon we will be literally out of the flesh when we put on our new celestial bodies. Our regeneration, that is our new birth that took place at our baptism, creates a mismatch between what we desire and the environment we live in. They are contrary one to another. We live in an environment that is dark. And that's contrary to our new desire as new creatures in Christ. But we're here for now. What a Christian desires and the environment he is in are contrary one to another. No wonder we feel tension. Galatians 5:17 says the desire of the flesh is against the desire of the spirit. So that struggle is there. However, we are here. Why are we here then? Why is the Lord leaving us here? We are here to bear witness to the truth, just as Jesus, our Lord, did. So we must ask ourselves, if our lives bear witness to the truth, and that's why we're here, would we be embarrassed if Jesus came to our house? Unexpectedly, by the way. Would you be embarrassed? What if he came and sat down beside us in some public place? Is there any reason we'd be embarrassed? Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation. Why would I be ashamed? So sanctification, which means set apart. You're sanctified. You are to be set apart from the world. Even though you're living in the world, you are to be set apart from the world. And this happens in tension, not isolation. When Jesus talked, he spoke as one having authority. And they said of him, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us along the way? There are a few today who will tell people what they need to hear. And just let them die in their sins. If we don't tell people what they need to hear, they're going to die in their sins. I'm going to read Proverbs 27. 5 through 7, Proverbs 27 says, better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. A sated man, that is one that has no appetite, loathes honey. You ever go into a store when you're full? Nothing looks good. You have no appetite for it. So a sated man loathes honey, But to a famished man, any bitter thing is sweet. If you hunger and thirst for things of God, or if you have no appetite for the things of God, will determine your attitude about the things of God. If a man speaks to you things you need to hear to the saving of your soul, that's the wounds of a friend who cares about you. Someone will not tell you what you need to hear, but comes up and shakes your hand or gives you a kiss. The same thing Judas did. But a sated man, los honey, a man with no appetite, no appetite for the things of God, they'd probably be bitter against you if you said something to try to help him. But a famished man, a person hungering and thirsting to know God, to know the things of God, even something bitter that he needs to swallow for his own sake, will taste sweet. Jesus said in John 14:18, I will not leave you as orphans. You see, Jesus cares about us. He loves us. And he said, well, listen, you got to stay down here in this world for a while because you got to bear witness to the truth. But I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you down here amongst the enemies by yourself. He said in John 16:13 that the Holy Spirit would guide you into all truth, that we would be sanctified, that is, set apart from the world by this truth, that his word is the truth. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, our hearts should burn within us. Selah. Listen. If the word has been preached correctly, it's not Jeff, it's not Steve, it's not Don, it's not anybody else. It's the Holy Spirit speaking. And your heart should burn within you when you hear God's word spoken. It's the word of God. In just a couple days, there will be a time of celebration of our Lord's birth. A time when the angels appeared and proclaimed peace on earth, goodwill to man. There is born to you this day a Savior, Christ the Lord. Good news, good news. That's what the gospel means, you know. Good news. The good news of what would become the birth, the life, the teaching, and the death, and the resurrection, and the ascension of our Lord. Good news. He was conceived of the very Spirit that he sent to guide us into all the truth. He was conceived of that very Spirit. And so it is that we too, when we have put on Christ in baptism, we have, like him, being born of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. Jesus was born, conceived of the Holy Spirit. That's how he lived 33 years and never sinned one time. He had the Holy Spirit guiding him, and he listened to it. Well, that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. You must. See? Because now you'll have the same spirit. As Peter said, when you repent and are baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, this also, you will receive a gift, the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. The same spirit that Jesus was conceived of. The same spirit by which he never sinned. That will be given to you. So, that we may learn as he learned, we may walk as he walked, be guided as he was guided by the same Spirit. So you see, the Bible tells us that Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. The first. That means there's more coming. The firstborn of many brethren. So indeed, there is something better to come. Even though we are uncomfortable, even though we feel a tension, when we're living in a world that is, we are unagreeable together, there is a conflict, there's something better to come. Remember that. When you're tempted, when you're tried, when you suffer, something better is coming soon, very soon. So I'll just leave it there and say, my door, and I know others, our door is always open to anyone that wants to know the Lord or know more. Our door is always open. And the Spirit and the bride, the church, say, come and drink of the fountain of life freely. For some of us, the 70 years, and if by reason of strength, another 10 or so, maybe another 30 or 40 for some people, but our 70 years have come, and for me have gone. If by reason of strength, the Lord wills, I'll be here a little longer to bear witness to the truth. But at some point, for all of us, the angelical reapers will come. Or those with the axes will come, that you encumber the ground upon which you stand no more, because you're not bringing forth any fruit. Hewn down the tree that brings forth no fruit, God said. They said, Lord, give us one more year. If it still doesn't produce any fruit, then we'll cut it down. So what's it going to be, my friends? Will the angelic reapers come to you? Or will those carrying the axe on their shoulder come to you? They'll hewn you down because you bring forth no fruit to God. Which it will be is up to you. Let's stand and be dismissed.